welcome you to Lake Country Bible Church and invite you to look in the back of the seat in front of you at the hymn slot there. You should see a plastic envelope that contains a slip of paper. We'd appreciate you filling out that slip of paper for us just to give us some contact information for you. And at the end of the service, please drop that completed form off into the wicker basket just to the right of the glass double doors. Again, thank you for joining us in worship today.
Good morning. Announcements are brief. Women's Bible study, Tuesday evening, 6:30. Terry Buckler is leading a study on the book of Numbers. All ladies are welcome. Wednesday night, prayer and Bible study at 6 p.m. Everybody is welcome. Men's prayer group, Friday, 8 a.m. at the Red Dome in Quitman. All men are welcome, and bring a friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, a beautiful day that you have given us. All days a new day. Thank you for your grace, for your love, for your patience, for your word. Thank you for being our God. And thank you for your work in our lives, and work in the Supreme Court, and work in the people of this country that seek to follow your will. We pray for Tony and Selena and his family as they're here in this town. We ask that you welcome them and pray that you hear his word that he shares with us today. Pray for Lake Country Bible Church and for all the members and visitors in this congregation. We pray that you walk with us and talk with us and teach us your ways. We pray, Father, that in all things your will be done. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Romans 5, 1 through 21. Romans 5, 1 through 21. Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad on our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we shall also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the gift, the free gift, is of many offenses unto the justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned over one, by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace reigned through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
There's a lot to get to know. It's always good to have Tony and his family here with us, and it's my privilege to introduce to you this morning Tony Rosas. Tony, you come. As you come, let me remind everybody, in 2 weeks, Freddie Coyle will be here with us on Sunday morning, the 10th. Tony?
Before I share, since some of you supported Anthony and his mission trip to Grace Farms, I'd ask him to come up and just share quickly what he did up there for 3.5 weeks.
Good morning. For the past 3.5 weeks, I've been in Georgia at Freddie Coyle's youth camp, Grace Farm, and I went to be a SWAT member this year, like I was last year. And SWAT members, basically it's a SWAT team made up of kids ages 13 to 18. And our motto is servants worthy and true who serve without being asked and give without expectations. We're a team comprised of kids who want to serve God with our lives and use the talents God has given us, minister to the kids who come to junior camp, and just have a full-out blast during our camp. But I had the opportunity to be the worship leader at Grace Farm this year, which was an honor because I never thought I would be leading kids in worship at Grace Farm ever in my life. I never really dreamed of that. It's something that I thought would never really happen. And when I was up on stage singing, I saw those smiling faces singing back. It was encouraging. It's just to see kids get involved in praising God, because Mr. Freddie had stressed that camp week, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous is his works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And just seeing kids thanking God for that, praising him, it was really encouraging to me. And being able to use what God has given me for his glory was a great experience. And I want to do it again next year. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Allison. Let me get my textual knowledge in order here. As I was preparing for the message, I was trying to come up with the proverbial ear-catching, attentive-grabbing thesis, and I struggled. Couldn't keep myself awake trying to come up with it. And I struggled with how to approach Romans chapter 5. For those of us that were here earlier, we looked at the doctrine of righteousness and justification. And so I began to think about this, and with the latest of what's happening in our country with Roe versus Wade being overturned, this wantingness of the country to be governed by the rule of law. It was said that the pen is mightier than the sword, but it's a two-edged sword, because the same pen that can be a benefit in writing a law that is beneficial is the same pen that can write a law that is not beneficial to mankind. And so you struggle with the rule of law. As a country, it was based on law, and as it was set up in the Constitution of dividing the powers, executive, legislative, and judicial branches accordingly, so that no one branch could overreach its power. And so this imagery of the rule of law is that we must live by the law. It's rather subjective when you have opposing parties on what is the law. What is deemed as lawful? And over the past 50 years, Roe versus Wade was upheld, and it was law. That abortion was a right. Not a choice, but a right. And so now we come to the advent of these 50 years of typically the year of Jubilee, of when all things are set free. And it's been overturned. And we can look at it as the rule of grace. Because the law does nothing but just demonstrate that we need something far greater than ourselves to govern ourselves. It was said by one of our forefathers that if men were angels, there'd be no need to have laws. If men could govern as an angel would, and that's assuming a good angel, so keep that in mind, that there'd be no need for a law. We would just be all good angels. And so we're facing this dilemma of the rule of law or the rule of grace. How do you want to live your life? In chaos or in Christ? We're going to see this, the benefits that we have because of the rule of grace. And we're going to see the benefits of the rule of grace versus the, well, I'm going to use the word reward for the rule of law. Benefits and rewards, if you will. Join me here in Romans chapter 5. We're not going to do 21 verses, so don't worry. You know, we got till 3 o'clock. I don't leave till Friday, so we could do 21 verses. You don't know what you have until you lose it. You don't. And usually when you get to reminisce about what it was when that person or that thing was here, at times you may get tears of joy and tears of mourning, but you don't realize what you have till it's gone. And I think we need to be aware of what we have today so we can use it today. And there is an array of benefits that we have when we are in Christ or the rule of grace. And I want to keep that in mind, the rule of grace. And so we're going to see the pros and cons here as we delve into Romans chapter 5. And Paul begins, in conclusion, or because of what I've just told you, because of what I just told you, but the only way to salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. Because of that, and you're declared righteous, you're justified. Therefore, because of that, he says, being justified or declared righteous by faith, but a trusting and reliance of. We have. Are you getting this? This is what you have. You have chaos with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what it says? Of course not. It's heresy. So we have peace. We have peace. This is a benefit of the rule of grace. We have peace. Now, get this in your head. You are not to make peace because you have peace. You don't have to make peace because it's done and here it is. Peace in the home, peace in the marriage. More importantly, peace between you and God. And it's through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. This rule of grace. The rule of law is going to provide you chaos. Driving up here, the speed limit says 75. If I go 76, well, if Mr. Trooper is not in a good mood, he may just give me a ticket for going 1 mile over the speed limit. Are you serious? 1 mile? Well, in the words of Barney Fife, if I give you a mile today, you'll take another mile tomorrow. And then you'll take another mile there after I give you the other mile, and it never ends. And isn't that just human nature? I can go 80 and it's only 5 minutes and they'll give me that. And so there's chaos in the rule of law. There's no peace. Because you're struggling to maintain that 75, and thank God for the cruise control, right? You don't have cruise control, you're struggling with your foot trying to keep it exactly at that designated speed limit. You get the cramp, and there's chaos in the leg now, and you can't do it. But there's peace, and you have it. The enmity between man and God has been removed. No longer. The sin's been removed. There it is. And now you and God are one through Christ who rose from the dead. For our justification. He told us that in the previous chapter. Verse 24. But for also us to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up again for our declaration of righteousness. It's a done deal, boys. I am the just and the justifier. I can do that because I've done it, and here I am. There's peace. Are you taking advantage of the peace of God in your life? Are you? Is there much turmoil in your mind when you go to sleep at night? Are the worries of life overbearing you and you have a sleepless night? You wake up tired in the morning, hoping that the cup of coffee is going to give you a boost of peace. And it doesn't. What are you trusting in? In you trying to make peace, or in the peace that's already been given to you? It's been given to you. Put it on. Apply it as you do deodorant in the morning, I hope. Put it on as you put your clothing on, but keep it on. You have this peace because of who you are in Jesus Christ. You've been declared worthy of this peace. The rule of grace, the rule of law is chaos or confusion, if you will. Paul continues, we have this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom? Again, pronoun, this pronoun, whom? Who is that? Well, none other than Jesus Christ. By him, we have access by this trusting and relying. We have an avenue. The rule of grace allows us access to God. The rule of law says, it's denial. We have access by faith into this grace. If you're here this morning, it's a grace. We've heard the it's God's favor on man, but it goes beyond that. It's God's willingness to overlook our indifference, our rebellion towards Him, and still has a capacity to forgive and bless. That's the rule of grace. There is a negative, but I want that positive. He's willing. He has this capacity to forgive me and still yet to bless me. We have that. We have access because of who Christ is to His grace. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 gives us an avenue that when we do falter, we can go to this zone of grace, access to it to be in agreement with God. God, you're right, I messed up again, and forgive me. Just as it should be in our homes when we wrong one of our loved ones, be it a son with a mom, a daughter with a dad, husband, wife, husband, we go to each other because we have this peace. We have not only access to God's throne of grace, but we have it in our homes because we have peace. I don't need to go in there and make peace because I have peace. I can go boldly to my wife or my child and say, I'm sorry, I wronged you. And because there is peace and they have and they're using it, they forgive. It's capacity to willingly forgive, to forbear, as Paul had written earlier in this letter. To forbear, willingly. There is peace, but not confusion in the rule of grace. There is access and not denial in the rule of grace. Access by faith into this grace, into God's willingness to forgive and to bless. Wherein now we stand and we rejoice continual. This word re means to just reignite, just keep going. It never ends. It should never end. We should always be in the honeymoon bliss. Tony, we've been married 40, 50 years. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's what the world teaches. And that's going to create chaos in a marriage. Why can't you be in the honeymoon bliss for 50 years? Why? Because there's no peace. But you have peace. Well, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. Buck up. Can you see it permeating in your life? With your loved ones? With co-workers? With other church members? Really? Yeah. Really? Come on. Don't go there. I go there. We have peace. We have access. And he goes, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I like the way Paul puts that there, because back in chapter 3, verse 23, we're told that we've all sinned and we come short of the glory of God. I can't attain it. You're not going to do it. But now, by Jesus Christ, there's hope. Right? I rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Where I once came short to the glory of God, this hope is not a wishful hope, it is a guarantee. Where once I could not attain it, now it's mine. Oh, before I was in chaos, but now, I'm hopeful. It was despair, but now there is hope. Unlike any other aspect of hope than just a guarantee. It's a done deal. Just as I've given you peace, just as you can come in, come on in, I got something better for you. What you could not attain, it's yours. It's yours. Can you fathom that? In order to fathom the hope of the glory, you have to understand what is the glory of God. What is it? Well, as we are being declared righteous, justified, He begins to conform us to the image of His Son. Not that we will be God, but that very same glorified body we too will one day attain. More than that, we will be in that glorified place of heaven with God. That is the hope. The body is just the one thing that we're going to get, but the greater hope is that I get to see my God. I get to see Him. You know, and at times we look at those that have gone ahead of us and we say, yeah, I'll get to see Grandma and Grandpa, but the greater joy is going to be this hope of this glory. We cannot compare seeing Grandma and Grandpa and whomever to what we're going to get here. I don't think we can. You know, like the song says, I can only imagine, you know, will I stand? Or will I be kneeling? Which one is it? I can only imagine. I don't think we can even go there. But this is how we should be looking at what we already have. Okay? You already have it. It's the goodie bag. And don't put it in the closet. Please don't do that. Begin to apply this in your life. Because as you access the grace, as you rejoice in the hope, you're going to be living a life that God is pleased with. A life of faith. Faith. Trusting and relying on this peace that He gives you, the access by faith, and rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, he says in verse 3, but we glory in tribulation. Did you mean to write that in there, Paul? That I'm going to glory in tribulation? Well, James says something to that effect. Blessed is the man that endures. Blessed. Is that part of the program? Well, keep on reading, Tony, if you will. I want you to glory in the testings that you'll get. Now, be able to understand the tribulation first and foremost. Don't glory in a tribulation that is an account of a consequence of living, well, not a godly life. Okay, none. Don't glory in that. I want you to glory in the tribulation where because of how you're living, because of willing to stand on godly principles, you will go through some hard testing. As gold goes through fire, so shall your faith be purified. Are you willing to stand my words when the whole world says no? Are you willing? So he says, I want you to glory in the tribulation and these testings for living godly, not ungodly, for living godly, knowing that this worketh, here's that word again, patience. Patience. Are you ready, honey? No, and I will move it because I've got to go. Did that make any sense? Are you ready? And she says, no. He told her to move it. And why is it taking you so long? And I'm getting dressed. It's these conversations go on endlessly and it just makes it longer for honey to get dressed because she's having to address your questions as opposed to address herself. And so sometimes we jump into these little arguments that really God is working. Can you be patient? So in those little times, you have patience. And that's not the patience I'm talking about. The patience is the one where you're being tried for living godly. And they're mocking you, perhaps at school, don't know. Or they're moving everybody towards a particular ideology. Can you pull back and stand? He says, no. I won't do that. And patient as they continue to mock you. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. Can you wait on me? Remember, I've given you peace. You have access. You've got something coming where you would fall short of before. Now you've got it. Now, I'm going to groom you. This imagery of being conformed to the image of the living Christ goes through as we go through these trials for living godly as we wait and rest upon the Lord. We don't jump the gun and get angry. We trust. Faith takes on action. I'm going to hold. I'm going to hold this line. I'm not going to give in. And so as it continues, there is a character building process here. And patience is experience, or rather character. Quite the character. Last time I used this, Terry laughed because she says, I'm quite the character. Is that correct, Terry Buckler? Or are you? And she's back there. She laughed. Yeah, I'm quite the character. Well, not that kind of a character. A godly character. Godly character, godly traits. It's funny because we were at the Dollar General, and I see this young boy that, as I saw him, it's like, looks like a walking like this, had his cap. But he did something that kind of made me ashamed, because there was this lady coming in, and he pulls back and he opens the door for her. That's so cool. Shame on me. Shame on me, because I saw him and I just painted the wrong picture. But when he acted in that manner, I go, oh, forgive me, Lord, for being so judgmental because of the way a person looks. He slapped me in the face that day at Dollar General. Tony, wake up. Wake up, man. Don't do that. Don't do that. And I know we all fall prey to that. I know. Just wait. Wait and see God work in people's lives. It's not the way I dress or how I walk, but it's what I do with others. And it just says, man, that is so cool. And shame on me for thinking that. Godly character, experience, and again, experience this hope again. It is a runaway process that you have this hope. And you have it, and you go, okay, Lord, I have it, but do I really have it? I'm going to show you. And he puts you through this trial. You got it. Did you get the picture now? I'm telling you, this is yours. And you go, I don't really think I do. Well, I'm going to get you in training now. This is your M16. What do I do with it? Well, let's go to boot camp. I'm going to show you how to use your M16. I'm going to show you what I've given you, a hand grenade, how to use it. I'm going to show you all these things. You've got it, and at times God's got to show us, this is it. You've got it now, boy. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you know what it means now? Can you grasp it? Is it tangible in your life? You go, yes, Lord. I understand. I couldn't attain your glory. It's given to me, and you're showing me, Lord. I'm going to stick to your word, and I'll stick to living a life that pleases you, being conformed to the image of the living God. None other than my Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian character? The rule of law will give you the worldly character. We're seeing the worldly character on TV. What? They changed the law on us? How dare they? We will burn everything so they turn it back to what it was. Can you see the rule of law working here? Chaos. Destruction. The rule of grace says there is no chaos here. There's peace. Done deal. Paul continues here. There's this hope. The hope that we have and what we once fell short that is now given to us. The hope that is being molded in your life, it's not going to make you ashamed. It won't make you ashamed. I tell Allie, I'll put my cap a certain way, and I walk a certain way like this. Allie, what if I go next to you and go to Dollar General and say, I'm your dad? And you know, I'll say, we just picked him up. We gave him a ride. And she says, Dad, don't make me ashamed. Well, God's hope will never be putting its hat in a particular way and walking all crazy. He'll never do that. It'll never put you in a position where, oh, no, I have nothing to do with that. It'll never do that. I think we've all been in a position where we've been ashamed by something one of our kids did, or probably maybe we did or something. Oh, I'm so ashamed of what I did. That's not the case with what we have in the rule of grace. You cannot be ashamed of it. He says, we cannot be ashamed. Why? Because it is the love of God and it's shed abroad in our hearts. Okay, are you getting this? You can't make peace. You have it. You can't use a battering ram. The axis is open. You can't try to achieve the glory. It's done. And he demonstrates this hope by showing you, by molding you. And then he says, you can't be ashamed because you know what? You can't buy this love. You can't manufacture this love. It's been poured on you. Whew. There you go. It's been done. The love of God has been poured on me. It's there. It's given. What's the problem? I don't feel it. Shouldn't I get like an oozing feeling of feeling good? You know, shouldn't there be like fireworks and stuff? No, 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 no. You see, that's the worldly character. And that's not who you are. You have a godly character. It's by faith, not by sight, not by feeling. No. Emotions are the product of who you are in Christ. It's been shed on your heart, he says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and this is by the Holy Ghost, which is, bingo, given to us. Man, wait a minute, God. You've given me peace. I have access. I've got the glory that I could not attain. You're going to teach me this hope. You're going to build me up. Okay, I'll go with that one. It's going to be hard, but buck up, buttercup, right? And now the love, and you're giving me also the Holy Spirit. Wow. Well, all of this for the guy that could not attain your glory because I sinned. You're going to give me all of this, a guy that was stuck to the rule of law, and then the rule of grace was given, and it was beyond me. And I put two and two together. It wasn't five, it was four, what it is, not new math, the real math. Okay, one is one, boy is boy, girl is girl. It was, boom, there it is, and I accepted it. And I go, wow, this is great. What do I do with this, God? I've got all these goodies. What do I do with this? Let's keep on reading here. He elaborates on this love because we have the imagery of love. Oh, I love that car. I love chocolate. I love my pet and I love my wife. Duh. Can you categorize the one word love with chocolate, your pet, and your wife? I like the Greek because it'll expound on this word love. This unconditional love. Unconditional. I unconditionally love chocolate. No, I don't. I don't like the 78% cocoa. That was nasty. That's really bitter, right? I'm more milky chocolate. I like that one. More sugar, more milk, right? Well, this unconditional love, and it's there because I was a sinner, could not attain the glory. He's going to give it to me now. Are you getting the picture of what unconditional means? There's no difference, Paul had told his audience before that. No, it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Gentile. It makes no difference. It makes no difference, he says. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We saw earlier in our lesson this morning that God caused it that Christ would be the payment for sin. He said, it's time. In the fullness of time, when God says, it's time, go do it, son. He was ready to go. He was ready to go. So we see this, that in due time, Christ dies for me. I was the ungodly. I would come short of the glory of God. Now he's given me the glory of God. He is showing me the magnitude of his love. Sometimes in our marriages, you may say, well, show me you love me. Just don't tell me. Make your bed in the morning. Pick up your socks. Show me. Show me. And I guess the proper comeback would be, is you don't unconditionally love me, do you, honey? But that's the point. When you unconditionally love, there is grace, there is forbearance. Yeah, my husband's a slob. I love him so much. Yeah, I love him. Oh, yeah. Oh, my honey, she always forgets. Oh, she put the keys in the toilet. I'm up here where they belong. You see? Can you see the peace being the grace in my attitude? Now the emotion is taking because of what I have. So when you confront these little quirks in the home with your kids or with mom, which, you know, equal opportunity. Oh, I love mom. She doesn't realize that I don't wear those jeans. I'm not a skinny leg jean guy anymore. She still buys them, or maybe it's the other way around. Don't know. I gotta love my mom or not. Oh, mom, you see? You see the difference? The rule of law, the rule of grace. Oh, I love mom, but she keeps getting me the wrong things. I'm already a big boy. I don't play with Transformers anymore, mom. You know, whatever it is, right? How do you approach those things? Rule of grace? The rule of law, my law. Dinner better be hot when you serve it at 6 o'clock, not 6:01, woman! How? God is demonstrating for us a great object lesson here. The Son. For when we had no strength, no ability, we couldn't do it, we couldn't accomplish what the law required, it wasn't going to happen. And if we had to pay, we are done for. Had no ability to do this, because we're not perfect. That's just it. Yet God sent His Son Christ to die for the ungodly. And then he puts in this little parenthetical, well, scarcely for a righteous man will one of us die. Maybe perhaps you'd be willing to put yourself out there for a righteous man. Perhaps you knew him real good. Be it your son. Yeah, I'll put my, take me instead of my kid. Take me instead of my kid. But Paul says scarcely, you know, very few. Would somebody die for a righteous man, one that's been declared? Will one die yet peradventure for a good man? Some would even dare to die. It's hard. It's not going to happen. But God, again, the point here is His love. He commendeth His love towards us. In what state were we in? In that while we were yet sinners. Are you getting that? I'm still coming short of the glory of God. And God says, okay, I love you. I love you. I don't care what they say about you. I don't care what you've done in the past or what you'll do in the future. I love you. Because I know all, son. I'm going to show you my love. I'm going to show you this love that I've given you. While we're yet sinners, my son will die for you and has died for us already. Man. Love of God. Unconditional love. Not that I love chocolate love, I love my car love. No. that love. What did he say back in verse 5? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit, which is also given us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Living a life being led by the Spirit. When you read the fruits of the Spirit, peace and joy and love, they're all there. They've been given to us. When we're able to tear ourselves away from the old man and allow the soul to walk in the new man, the newness of what we are now in Christ, the new creation, we can use all these with no holds. It's like boom, boom. You have peace. It's there. There's no second guessing any of this. It's a commitment that you're following through. The rule of grace or the rule of law is just chaos, and the rule of law, it's the love of God or the love of self. How do you want to live your life? We all make a choice. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Oh, you got something else coming. You're saved from the wrath that might come. No, what does he say? We shall be saved from wrath through Him. It's going to come. It'll be here. Are you living a life that fully exemplifies the rule of grace with all its benefits? Or are we still living in the old man because we don't know what we have in Christ? I didn't know I had that. I thought I had to make peace. I didn't know that I had access. I thought I had to like maybe go pay penance or I don't know. I didn't know that I was still short of the glory of God and that's why he was really beating up on me today. No, you have it and he's creating this hope, making it very real in your life. And that's these tests of your faith for living godly. Oh wow. Now it's kind of, I'm getting a picture here. Not quite there, but I'm getting there. I was in despair. But the love of God, I thought it was a God of wrath. I thought God was up there just waiting to hit me. Oh, boom. Or I thought God was the God of love where it just didn't matter and we're all kumbaya together into heaven. No, not what he is either. There was a payment paid. I was declared righteous by the blood of Christ, and I will be saved from the wrath, and it's through Him. Nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do. It's your faith on Him that gets it done. Won't you ride on His coattails on the rule of grace? I know I am. And he goes on to say here, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Remember? That is the beginning of the reconciliation process of us dead in our sins. For we were yet dead in our sins. He died for the ungodly. Boom. I was dead. I was a sin. He dies. And at that juncture, the sin issue was removed. That's not it. Okay? So, while we were all dead in our sin, he dies and he pays for the sin. Whether I believe that or not, does not matter. He paid for the sin of the whole world. A done deal. Reconciliation has now been accomplished between God and man. It's there for the taking. And so he says here, for when I was an enemy, Okay, I didn't believe in him. He removed it. To be reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So now the opportunity is there. Do you want it? Well, there's a force field. No. Do you want it? No, there is no force field. Do you want it? Yes. Yes, I believe that he died for my sin. Boom. You're mine. You're mine. Boom. You got peace. Boom. You have access. Boom. Well, you fell short. Now you got hope. And you got it. Boom. I'm going to show you this hope alive in your life. Boom. This love, I'm going to show what it is. And it's going to be given to you. Boom. You're saved from the wrath that's to come. You've been reconciled. He's saved by his life, not your actions. His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now. Boom! It's been accomplished. The atonement. Or rather, the reconciliation. It's been done. There's nothing for you to do. I want you to sit there and rest on him. It's over. Rest from your work, your faith in Jesus Christ. The rule of grace or the rule of law? Rule of grace, there is peace. There's a change in my notes from what I have. I did some minor changes, so I apologize for that. There is peace in the rule of grace. You have access. There's hope. The Christian character, the love of God. We're friends. We've been delivered from the wrath. The rule of law, you have confusion, denial, despair, worldly character, love of self. The man rules in the home. Delivered to wrath, and you're a foe. Not a doe, but a foe. That's what we have because we've been justified. We've allowed ourselves to be ruled by the law of grace, faith, and not ruled by the rule of law. I think we all need to, I know me also, take advantage of what I have and not be quick to grumble, murmur, dispute. Whether it's 100 degrees out there or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I choose to live by the rule of grace and choose to take advantage of what God's given me. They're there. They're given to us. What are we waiting for? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that in Christ there is peace. There is no chaos. May we be quick, Father God, to take full advantage of the gifts, not entitlements, the gifts that you've given us, Father, by laying your Son in our place for us as a payment of sin, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to your word, Father God, to your covenant promises to Abraham, Father God, where you told him that he would be the father of many nations because he believed you, Father God. That was imputed to him as righteousness, Father. Believing in what you told him. And so that too applies for us today, Father. Do we believe? And if we do believe, then we have been granted all that you've given us here, Father. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. And I pray that if you have not made that choice, that you make the choice today. Live by the rule of grace and not of the rule of law. It's been paid for. Put your faith on the one who did it all, Jesus Christ. And if you've done that, you're a child of the living God. I ask you to bless in Jesus' name, and we all do say, and amen it is. Mr. Steve.